Welcome back to IT Camps. I'm Harold Wong with Microsoft, and in this next section in the IT Camp series, I am going to talk about Windows Azure and a new capability called Infrastructure as a Service, also pronounced IaaS. That's coming out soon, so today it is in beta, and so I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about what it is, how it works, and why you should care about it, why I care about it, why it's important to a lot of different IT pros, because this is the one component now that makes Windows Azure an IT pro-focused kind of feature or makes it ready for the IT pro versus just the developer. Just to give you a background of where we came from, right, so you understand where we started and where we are today, this is kind of the timeline of when it went into beta initially, and I'm talking about Windows Azure as a offering. And there was a lot of work that went into play starting back in 2007. It went into release mode in February of 2010. And so now we're about 2 years into it. We've done a lot of enhancements, made a lot of improvements, did a lot of work in terms of even VM roles or exposing different things around Java and working now towards Hadoop. But now we've also exposed beyond just platform as a service or PaaS, and we've gone into the IaaS capability. So when you look at IaaS, it is truly an infrastructure as a service offering. It's not meant for developers to go in and do the configuration. So historically, when you looked at Azure, it was a platform as a service. It was PaaS, which meant a developer or anyone can go in without really understanding infrastructure management and whatnot and spin up an instance and start programming or developing and writing an application and then publishing to that PaaS or Azure environment. There's been a lot of requests from a lot of different customers that said, hey, Microsoft, you really, really, really need to start offering more of an infrastructure as a service or IaaS capabilities in Azure as well. And so that's what we finally did. Right now you have the ability to spin up in Azure your own VM running Windows or a version of Linux and be able to manage the OS, configure the OS such that you can install your own applications. It's persistent, so you have data that sits in that VM and it does persist. If the server reboots, the data is still there. If there's a failure, it will still fail. We have that high availability, which is what the beauty of PaaS offered, but we now also offer it with IaaS, and it really does require an IT professional to really go out and do the configuration and work hand-in-hand with that development team so that you can offer this capability to your organization. So if we start looking kind of back at the cloud models, right, this is the one that we've used forever, the on-premises model, where you own everything, you run everything, and you manage the entire stack. When we released Windows Azure, we introduced PaaS in terms of a Microsoft offering. And that's where we managed everything from the runtime all the way down to the hardware. We took care of the OS. We took care of the virtualization layer. Right? The only thing you had to worry about was writing your application such that it worked within that Azure environment. Your data was stored in a fashion that you were able to maintain the data, keep the data persistent regardless of what happened to that PaaS instance. We had different roles such as worker roles or VM roles or web roles. And then software as a service is probably what a lot of people associate with Office 365. It's a finished application. That's where you connect in, you sign up for a service. It's still a self-service portal, but you aren't responsible for maintaining the application itself either. Right, we provide the high availability. We wrote the application. Yes, it's Exchange as an example, but you sign in and you provision a mailbox. You configure the parameters for that mailbox, and that's it. You don't have to worry about, well, did I set up the database correctly? Is there a fault tolerance on the database? Did I configure Exchange properly? Well, on that side of things, that's where Microsoft manages it, right? That's why it's software as a service. Or even the Dynamics component. CRM. You sign in, the database is managed, you own the contacts, you own the data, but all of the back-end services, Microsoft manages for you. So we've been offering those for a while now, And new to the mix is now infrastructure as a service. Now let's make sure we understand, it is not a released functionality as of yet. So today it is still in a beta phase or a trial or customer trial kind of environment. So kick the tires, right? You can sign in, you can get your own account, and at the end I will have a link so that you can see where to go sign up for a 90-day trial of Windows Azure so that you can start working with infrastructure as a service and see if this is something that makes sense for you. But in this model, this is where we manage the hardware and the virtualization layer. But the virtual machine and the OS that runs within that virtual machine, that is up to you or the customer to manage. So any middleware, any runtimes, any applications that get installed, all the data that you manage, right, all of that is yours, but you are responsible for managing that entire component. So if you want to run Windows Server 2012 in that VM in Azure, you can. If you do it this way, you'll be responsible for managing the patches when you apply the patches. You can install your application set, so if it's SharePoint that you're interested in running, you can install SharePoint. If you want to install domain services, so put a domain controller out there to handle authentication with tie-in back to your on-premises Active Directory infrastructure, you can do that as well. Right, so now it is truly a VM with an OS of your choice, and you manage from OS all the way up, including the application. And this is something that people have been asking us for quite some time. The nice thing about IaaS and Azure is we still provide high availability. So even though as the customer, I would be managing the OS and everything up, at the hardware, that virtualization layer, if the VM were to fail for whatever reason, Azure will still take charge or be responsible for ensuring another VM or another instance spins up with that exact same OS, that exact same application, right? All of that will still be brought back online and I won't lose that information. So Azure is still providing that fault tolerance, providing that high availability, which is where we really shone, right? Or we were shining in that arena with the PaaS offering that we initially came out with for Azure. So if we look at that IaaS capability, let's kind of dig in a little bit more, give you a little more around the capabilities and why it's important, right? This is truly an IT pro experience, right? You're going to have to worry about how do I provision that VM? How do I provision the storage? The applications that need to be installed, those are things that need to be installed. It's not done for you. You're not going to have your developer necessarily write that app. You could, but then now you will need to install it. It's not going to be deployed like it normally would be in a PaaS type situation. But you have that manageability of the storage. You have high availability features, as I mentioned. You have advanced networking, so you can take advantage of the virtual networking capabilities that you have on-premises and also now in Windows Azure. You can connect your IaaS environment in Azure to your on-premises environment or to a partner data center environment. And the beauty of it is it will integrate, or you can integrate it, with your PaaS environment. So if you've already set up your worker roles and your web roles and your VM roles for the solution that you've already deployed into Windows Azure based on PaaS, and you start looking at how do you enhance it with IaaS, you can tie the two together. They're fully integratable because they are in the same environment. It's the same platform, the platform that we provide and the platform that we manage. So I also want to dig into differences between a VM, which is the IaaS offering, in comparison to a VM role, which is a PaaS offering. So we've had this VM role capability, but that is really non-persistent storage. It is a VM that Microsoft creates. It's a VM that we pretty much determine what's in there and we manage it. It still cannot have any persistent data on there. And so in that respect, it is different. It is something that we control, or if you were to upload it yourself, then it still has to fit within the non-persistent parameters of the PaaS offering of Azure. Still there, still supported, and use it where appropriate. But when you look at the IaaS capability, that is a true VM. You can create your own and upload it, or you can deploy based on what's in the gallery. And in this case, we do support Ubuntu and some other flavors of Linux at the launch period, or currently in beta. We are working to support more, but right now I can only talk about what's there, and I'll have a slide about the supported OSs here shortly. But do know that in a VM perspective, in this IaaS, the data is persistent. You do have persistent drives. So the concept of a storage device or a VHD that you can attach to your VM, that exists. And that VHD file that you attach is something that will persist through reboots, through failures, or whatnot, because it is a persistent disk versus a non-persistent disk like the VM role environment is. So if you want to see the list of OSs that are available at launch, or, well, I don't know if it's available at launch, I'm hoping the list will expand. But today, during the beta phase, we do offer a couple of versions of Windows Server 2008 R2, as well as Server 8 Beta, or now Server 2012 release candidate. We also have pre-built images that have OpenSUSE, CentOS, and Ubuntu, as well as SUSE Linux Enterprise Server. So there are quite a few options today, and of course you can also build your own and upload as well. But those are the pre-built images that we have today at this preview or beta stage. So take advantage of it, and I will show you in the demo at the end or in the next section. I'll have a demo where I will go out and provision a VM so that you can see it really is not rocket science, and we can select from one of these pre-built images that's already out in the Azure environment. When you create these VMs, we do have some predefined VM sizes. So there is an extra small, which is really shared CPU cores, or if you start with the small and then all the way up to extra large, they are dedicated CPU cores. You can see the amount of memory as well as the amount of bandwidth that we allow. So if I wanted to connect 9 disks or data disks, I would definitely need to go with an extra large, because that's the one that will support 16 or up to 16 data disks. Whereas if I do a small instance, I can only attach 2 data disks, in addition to the disk that's already there that holds the OS at boot up. And if you look at the very bottom of that chart, you'll see that each persistent data disk can be up to a maximum of 1 terabyte in size. So it's quite a large size disk, and I expect, as I said earlier, things to change, right? Because this is preview or beta stage, so I can only imagine that we will continue to enhance and continue to grow the capabilities. Kind of have a graphical slide here with builds that will show a little bit of the reliability, or how this persistent disk versus the data disks will kind of work. So if I build a VM, I do need to have Windows Azure Storage. So in that Azure Storage, I might have the boot VHD that has the OS image on there. I might also have 2 data disks that hold my data for SQL, Exchange, whatever that might be, my domain controller, my file server. And that's what you create through the management interface. On the back end, Windows Azure will go ahead and replicate that to ensure there is a available copy for disaster recovery purposes. The stuff in blue is not something you would see in the interface. It's not something I would manage as the end customer, right? But on the back end, Azure is automatically taking care of that for me. So if the VM is running, life is good, things are being written, the OS is up, the data is being written to the data disks, it's being replicated to the disaster recovery copy in blue, if something happens to that VM and it dies, Azure will automatically spin up another instance. It'll attach to the OS disk, it will attach to the data disks, and continue to run. Right, so that we have no lost service, we don't lose the data, everything is still there. And that's the beauty of what Azure has to offer, not only on the PaaS side, but now also on the IaaS side. So if you look at your disk images, there's a couple of ways that you can get things uploaded into the Azure environment. So for the base OS, it could be something that you're just taking advantage of a pre-built image, or you can create your own. If you create your own, make sure it's sysprepped, and when you sysprep it, generalize it as part of the option of sysprepping and mark it as read-only. And then you can go ahead and upload that to BlobShare into your data storage in Azure. For your writable disks, you would go ahead and create them in Azure. You can either do it at VM creation, you can create it after the fact, or you can even take your own data disks, your VHD files, and upload them. Just remember what the maximum file size or disk size is 1 terabyte. So if you're going to create it yourself and you're going to upload it, just keep in mind, you know, don't try to create a 2 terabyte VHD because it is outside of the supported size, right? And also the larger the VHD size is that you upload, the longer it probably will take to upload it. But either way, multiple ways to get your VHD files, whether they're the OS images or the data VHDs, up into Azure. You can create them from the portal, take advantage of what's already in the Azure portal in the gallery, or you can create it on premises and then upload them yourself. This slide is just showing that we do have cross-premise connectivity. Right, that's one of the foundations of Windows Azure, is it's not an isolated island. So whether you're using the PaaS services or IaaS services or capabilities, you still have the ability to take your IaaS VMs that are in Azure and connect them back to your on-premises data center from an IP level with security and still allow them to communicate and interact. Right, so that capability does not go away just because we implemented IaaS in Azure. It's a good thing that it didn't go away because a lot of organizations still want that connectivity. This is a great way to extend your on-premises data center out into the cloud environment so that as you need it, you can always burst out, whether it's to Windows Azure or to another partner-hosted data center environment. So that connectivity, remember, is indeed still there. If you look at this slide, right, same concept, just continuing to build on that, is there is a virtual network. If you're familiar with Hyper-V, right, you can create these virtual network switches so that you can connect multiple VMs to a given switch or a given set of switches. And in the Azure environment, with IaaS, you have the ability to create these different virtual networks that you can then connect your VMs to, and then you can connect your virtual networks in Azure to your on-premises data center and do it in a secure fashion. Or you can connect individual VMs back to on-premises infrastructure, right? So an entire network or virtual network or individual VMs. If you look at the different scenarios, because there's probably a lot of scenarios out there that you may be thinking through or that's running through your head, just want to point out a few. By no means is this every possible scenario, but these are the common ones that we've thought about, right? That hybrid public cloud, private cloud environment where you have an enterprise app that might be running in Windows Azure and it needs to connect to your on-premises resources. Is that possible? Absolutely. We supported that before IaaS and we continue to support that. What about enterprise identity and access control? Maybe you have an on-premises AD and you still want to ensure that the identity is managed via that on-premises AD infrastructure. Whether the domain controller stay on-premises or you keep a copy of AD or a domain controller in Azure, you have that ability. Right? The monitoring and the management of that entire environment is also supported. We are enhancing our System Center toolset to ensure that you have the ability to manage your Azure instances about the same way as you would manage and monitor your on-premises instances. Right? Advanced connectivity in terms of deploying with IP addresses and the persistent IP address, the ability to take an IP scheme that works on-premises and extend that out into Windows Azure so that your VMs in Azure look like they're running in your own data center. Right? It's just an extension of what you already have. So that is indeed possible. And this is just showing in a nice graphical sense the interconnectivity capabilities, right? You have your on-premises in blue, which has your client machines, it has maybe your Exchange server, your domain controllers, your SQL servers, your IIS servers, SQL farms, right? It's got all of your core infrastructure components to run your business. And yet in Azure, you might also have some of that same stuff out there. You might have a copy of your Active Directory, so a domain controller that's sitting in a VM in IaaS out in Azure. You might have a copy of Exchange that you're replicating out there for redundancy purposes. You might have file servers. You might have an enterprise application that communicates with your domain controller, accesses files on the file server out in Azure, as well as connecting back and interacting with the SQL farm in your on-premises environment. Right, and going back out the other way, maybe there's something in the SQL farm that's in your on-premises environment that syncs back out into the Azure instance. That two-way communication is absolutely supported, continues to work, like I said, just like it did before with the PaaS offering. Except for now, you can run your own VM with your own application set completely in the IaaS environment of Windows Azure. So clearly, I've made mention that IaaS and PaaS together definitely is a benefit, right? Because we already started with PaaS, and now we've added the IaaS capability, allowing both to work together, interact, and give you the benefit of both worlds is a definite plus in that Azure environment. So real quick, don't think that I'm trying to say PaaS is the way to go for sure, but there definitely are benefits to PaaS, hence why that was the first thing we started to offer when we came out with Windows Azure. It was a great reason or a great resource for developers to start coding immediately, because it was fast for them to spin up an environment and start writing applications. It was probably cheaper because it was compute-based. It was pay as you use or pay as you go, so you only pay for what you use. And then it was lower risk. If the project didn't work out, no problem. You only invested a few dollars versus lots and lots of dollars on infrastructure purchases that may not ever get reused again for another project. So there are definite benefits, and a lot of those benefits now also apply to IaaS when you run that in Windows Azure. So when you look at them side by side, I just want to point out a few components, because it is sitting out in Windows Azure. We still have the virtual IPs, so they do have public endpoints. They are fully exposable to the internet so that you can access it from a public internet connection if you so choose. Just because it's available doesn't mean it's automatic. Just like any server that you would normally deploy into your environment, connectivity is limited. In other words, we don't allow connectivity until you enable it. So you do still need to go and take your VM and enable it for connectivity, whether it's connectivity from your on-premises, connectivity from your known clients, connectivity from PaaS environments out in your Azure subscription, or from just anonymous public internet access. You still do have to configure all of that, but at least you know that the connectivity is there, the integration is there, and it's possible to connect your PaaS solutions with your IaaS solution. This is just showing an example where maybe if you look at the top, that's your PaaS environment. So maybe you already have a PaaS deployment of some solution, some application set, and then you go and choose to deploy an IaaS solution out into Azure. You can connect them, right? In this case, what we're doing is we're just doing a tunnel. We're not connecting them to the same virtual network, so they're separate networks, and we have the ability to still connect them via the VIP because they do have IP addresses. So in this case, there are secure endpoints tunneled between the two environments. There's a little bit more latency because of that tunnel, but it is still possible. The other way to do it might be to put them both on the same virtual network. So now I can go and define a virtual network and essentially plug my PaaS stuff into that virtual network as well as my IaaS stuff into that virtual network. And because they're part of the same network, they automatically have that connectivity. Now, to do that, there's a little bit more complexity in configuring your virtual network settings, but it is possible. If you do it in this manner, then Windows Azure is not going to provide the DNS settings like it would normally do if you weren't connecting your PaaS infrastructure to the virtual network. But because the virtual network is something you control, you then manage all the DNS entries and all the IP address assignments to those environments, not only to your IaaS VMs, but to your PaaS worker roles, web roles, and so forth. And then there's the kind of mix mode, where everything just happens to be in the same cloud, and you've got your load balancer, and everything just seamlessly works together. That's really not 100% there yet, but is coming, right? That's one of the things that we foresee happening during or at the launch time. But either way, we do have the ability to just give you, right, the cloud that makes the most sense for you, whether it's PaaS, IaaS, a combination of both, combination of that with your on-premises or private cloud, and truly implement that hybrid cloud mixture or hybrid cloud environment. So with that, I will in the next video here show you a quick demo on how to set up the Azure portal or set up the virtual machine and create and deploy a VM and attach one of those persistent data disks. So before I conclude this session or this module, I do want to point out that there are some links that you should take advantage of or can. So that very first one is a great one for you to go and sign up for a 90-day free trial of Windows Azure. Every capability is available in that 90-day trial. You can start utilizing the PaaS capabilities, the IaaS, start deploying your VMs, start to interconnect those with your on-premises stuff. But either way, go take a look at that. It's aka.ms/HW Azure trial. And also, want to encourage you to start looking at Windows Server 2012 as well as System Center 2012. Because if you really do want to have that true hybrid cloud environment, you'll probably want to take advantage of the tools that will allow you to seamlessly manage both the on-premises and the off-premises environment in that System Center 2012. Take advantage of Virtual Academy to get a lot of the free training. There is free training on both Windows Server, System Center, and Azure and Office 365. So please, by all means, take advantage of every resource that you can get your hands on. And so with that, I do want to bring an end to this module. And remember to watch the next video session, where I will do a quick demo of some of these IaaS capabilities in Windows Azure. Thank you.